National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
And connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to the show. Now over to Pat O'Brien.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Trevor Price, my old buddy from the NFL. How are you, Trevor?
I'm good, man. How
nice
are you?
Nice to see you. I'm good.
Good to have you.
Played 16 years in the NFL and runs a company now called Coolapari. What's that for?
The company's Outlook company, but Coolapari is my IP. It's my kid's IP. Mm-hmm. You know, I wrote a kid's book that somehow I've turned into a Netflix original series and a Under Armour clothing line and a line of toys at Mattel. And comic books and books, and you know, I like all kids my age, I grew up with Star Wars, and I grew up with the first iteration of Ninja Turtles, and I grew up with the first parts of Power Rangers, but Voltron, things like that. So when you decide you're going to jump into
that
world,
yeah,
you have to be very good at
it. It's a hell of a transition.
It wasn't as hard as people think.
Really?
Because what happens is every 6 months you get 6 months off. So what are you going to do for those 6 months? You know what I mean?
It's like, well, he did it right.
Yeah.
I know what some people do.
I know what a lot of people do. They call it burning the candle at both ends.
As an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. How do you get people to take you seriously? Your ideas.
I think you can't sell them short. You can't have a lot of them. That's the first thing I would say. If I walk into a meeting with a pitcher or an executive and I have 20 ideas.
Too many.
Yeah, you have way too many. I have one.
Mm-hmm.
And if this meeting lasts 5 minutes or 50 minutes, I really don't care. But if you don't understand my idea or what I'm selling you, in 30 seconds, we are both wasting our time. If you have that attitude, then they take you very seriously.
And where are the places that you like to develop ideas? Walk to beach guys?
Yeah, I am. I have a bulldog, and I live in Maryland.
Let me just say this again, then. You must be one of those watch the beach guys.
Right? So I have a bulldog, and where I live in Maryland, the whole state's basically a farm.
Right.
So my neighborhood backs up into a farm, and there's a 2-mile trail that is actually a trail in the middle of a farm, and me and him walk it every day, and that's where all my best ideas come up.
And do you write them down, or do you?
No,
speak
I remember
them.
I have some kind of memory for some reason. Anytime I've been to a meeting with like an executive, mm-hmm. and I'm developing something, they're always like, "Well, you're not writing anything down." I said, "I will write down something if you say something I didn't think of."
You know, I've spent years in sports, and I find out about sports people that we tend to remember. You know, you got to remember play. We tend to remember things.
Yeah, very differently.
Better than other people.
Absolutely.
The three ingredients to becoming a distributor.
I think the first thing you have to wonder is what's not out there, right? So
what's not out there?
What's not out there was poisonous frogs fighting scorpions for water. That's what Coolapari is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You have to first find out what hasn't been done yet.
What were the three biggest obstacles to transition and to be successful?
My very first idea that I had, I called the president of Sony. I had no idea. I was like, I have an idea for a movie. That's why I found a director. I was like, oh, this guy's name at the top. I'm going to call him.
You got through to him?
100%. He bought the idea 2 weeks later. He said, come to my office and talk to me. I think as an NFL player or an athlete or anybody that they've seen on TV, you can get anybody on the phone
once. I know how that works.
Yeah, one time.
Right.
You can't get them on the phone twice, but you can get them one time. So anyway, so that was the biggest thing. The second thing is, you know, to be taken, again, part of being taken seriously was, did you have something worth talking about? That was the only thing that mattered to me. If I had something that you wanted to hear, we'd have another meeting, and then that would break the NFL, the wall between us.
Yeah. We are here, by the way, to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Trevor Price is our guest. Yeah, it's a barrier that you have to break.
Yeah.
And you got to be quick, too, right?
100%.
You got to be, pardon the expression, but you got to be almost like a quarterback. You got to get rid of that ball fast and get in the head of the defense or behind it.
When I first got into business, I had a lawyer one time, and he said, yeah, you play defensive line. Because what I would do is those 6 months I have off, I'd go, pester people, bother people, make a decision. And he would say, your job in life is to force a quarterback to make a decision before he's ready. He said, you can't do that in business. I said, yes, I can.
Yeah, you can. That's a good point.
Absolutely, yes, I can. And I did.
Are there any mentors that are giants to you?
I don't know them personally, but George Lucas was really big. It's really big because unlike Voltron, unlike G.I. Joe, unlike anything else I could put one man behind it. Now, you can say whatever you want to say about him, but he did just sell his company a couple years ago for $4 billion.
Well, you can say whatever you say, but he did create.
He created the seminal story of my generation.
And then when you look at athletes, Magic Johnson has got to be high on your list, right? Because he's put everything together.
But it goes back to having one good idea. You know, Magic Johnson is, God bless him, he's making a lot of money doing it. Movie theater, Starbucks, he wants to own a soccer team. That's great when you have that broad a vision. My vision is laser focus, right? It's on Kalapari. And now I have 13 episodes of TV coming out September 2nd.
What are the advantages of having a focus, a laser focus like that? And then just conclude the disadvantages too.
Yeah, the advantage is I can say no to you before you say no to me. You know what I mean? Because I know where it's supposed to go, and I know where it's not going to go. So I don't look at anything and say, oh, first opportunity I get, I'm going to take that. And
you don't be greedy.
Right, no, I don't be greedy. But sometimes things pass me, they would pass me by, and I say, that's okay. I'll get there when I get there.
What are the three things that have made you so compassionate and passionate about projects?
Passionate about it is, you know, if you don't do it, nobody else will, right? So I learned very quickly when I first came to Hollywood and I started coming to Hollywood every offseason, I sold a bunch of projects as a writer and producer. I sold one to HBO. I sold two to Disney Channel. I sold one to Cartoon Network. I sold one to ABC. I was creating all these shows and juggling all these things, trying to get them all uphill. And I had development deals on all of them. And then one day I just stopped. And I said, Kalapari, this is where I'm going. Because I kept saying to myself, okay, what would Michael Bay do? Or what would anybody that has that
Michael
kind of business,
Bay would blow it up.
He'd blow it up, right? But what would what would Tim Cook do?
Right.
He'd say, okay, we're Apple. We're not going to make sneakers. You know what I mean? Why are you focused on things not important? So that's where it came from. And I had to put my own money against it. I'm raising money now, but at first I had to put my own money up. So when you put your own money up, you tell people no. And I talk to people very differently.
How?
Very differently. Like, okay, I'm like, look, you have 5 minutes.
So you got to know the language, right?
You have to know
that's
the language.
A good point.
You have to know the language, but you have to know when it's real and when it's not. You know, there's plenty of investors that are like, okay, explain it to me. I was like, if I have to explain this to you, this is not for you, right? You're looking at an IP that is boys-based. Mm. Boys IP is what is driving entertainment right now. There is nothing like this. I've been told it's the next Ninja Turtles. I've been told it's the next this. Everything I've been told is the next up is something very valuable. If you don't see that in literally 20 seconds, what are we doing?
And as an entrepreneur, how do you stay ahead of the game? Like VR now, virtual reality, so everything.
You know, I have stopped chasing everything. You know what I mean? Because what I have to do is I have to tell a great story. Once I tell the great story, the business will chase me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
By the way,
I tell
you're
a great story,
right.
I have the comic book series comes out this August. If that's really good and people like it, trust me, VR will come to me. All these things will come to me. If I'm busy chasing them, then what am I doing? You know what I mean?
Well, let's talk about that, because what if you're wrong?
I don't think I am.
If you are?
I don't think I am.
What if you are?
Okay, you're bigger than I am. Yeah, right. No, I know, but I think at some point you have to say, okay, what's more valuable, right? Every day you wake up and I have 30 emails to send. These three are important. these 27 really aren't.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, again, if I take, and I've always said this to every partner I've ever had in Kulapari, I said it to Netflix, I said it to my other production partners, I said it to Under Armour, I said it to Mattel, I said it to everybody. If I take care of Kulapari, it will take care of me.
One of the two or three steps to keeping it to yourself and making sure that it's, that making sure you're right.
I don't know if it's lightning in a bottle, but I know I have something, because I wouldn't have gotten a book deal. The trilogy came out over the last 4 years, right? So my hunch in Kulapari or anything I've ever done has been proven. And once it was proven, once somebody else said, this is great, then I was like, okay, let me get ahead of it before you do. So that's the first thing. You have to invest your own money. You have to. If you don't do it.
So you're not beholden to other people.
No, you cannot. I refuse to be that. Mm-hmm. I refuse to be beholden. Like, and I'm having conversations now with investors and type of things, and I'm like, here's the way it's going to go. You're going to make a lot of money, but I run the business, right?
Right.
And especially when people don't understand
that
business.
And I'll decide how much you make.
And you're right. No, you can.
Or the business will decide.
Right, the business side. And I'm like, the money doesn't matter. You know, my mother always used to tell me all the time, if you love your job, you don't work. You know what I mean? So I love the creativity and the business part of running a boys' IP.
Right.
I find it fascinating, and I learn something new every day. The money will come. I'm not worried about that, but it has to be on my terms.
I always tell my son, keep saying yes until someday you can say no.
Yeah, and I've gotten to the point I can say no.
And that's the real joy of it.
I say no all the time. Like,
Trevor, I'm glad you said yes to me. Thanks for coming by today.
Absolutely, okay. Man. I appreciate it.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect entrepreneurs all over the world. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. We'll see you next time.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And because Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their most popular set, complete with a razor, one of their world-famous blades, shaving cream, and post-shave balm for free if you cover shipping. A total value of $20 at no cost to you with code 1150 at checkout. Their way of saying thank you for trying them. How is Harry's able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures the blades. That's how. Go to harrys.com now and enter code 1150 at checkout to claim your free trial set and post-shave balm. That's harrys.com. Code 1150.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Staples knows that when your two-person office now houses a staff of 12, it's time. When you go from being a mom-and-pop to a mom-and-pop and sons and company, it's time. When you need to move a 15-person office in one day, it's definitely time. And it's times like these when pros turn to Staples. Staples has everything your business needs to pack it and move it at great prices. And right now, buy two, get one free on all bubble rolls. Staples, it's pro time. End 6-10-17 while supplies last.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658.
Is getting a degree on your bucket list, but you've got a life, a job, family, stuff you can't put on hold to go back to school? Grantham University gets it. For over 65 years, Grantham's delivered affordable, relevant college and advanced degree programs to the men and women of our military. Let that sink in a moment. If they can deliver a quality education to a service member in a tent in Afghanistan, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. Grantham is accredited and 100% online, so they're built to be flexible to make sure you can fit an education into your already busy life. Call Grantham today to find out how easy it is to get started on your education and check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-0850. That's 800-910-0850. Grantham University. Flexible. Affordable. Relevant. Call 800-910-0850.
Inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. My rock star today, Sean Connect, co-founder of Pride Bites. Now, you have a really cool story about being on Shark Tank. Tell me what that experience is like.
That experience, humbling, gratifying, an amazing experience. Wouldn't change anything. So we applied. We applied actually twice. First time around, we got said no. But being persistent in our follow-up, we were like, let's give it one more go. We really think it could help our business.
And was it like a formal audition?
It was 25, 30-page application with they need to know everything, plus a video. And I think where we stumbled the first time around was our video was very lackluster. But then the second go around, my wife being in the TV industry, she
works
helped.
For Ellen, no big deal.
I mean, winning producer.
Wow.
She helped us on our video and really helped write our segment, really coached us up, being lively and smiling and have a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And then, so we did that. We applied one more time and said, this will be the only other time we apply. We applied, I think, in February, March. We heard back in April and then we filmed in June. So we didn't have that much time to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going back and forth with the producer and logistics wise. And basically you get free rein. You get to go in there asking any valuation you want, asking for any amount of money you want. The producer will help you, but ultimately it's your decision. So in preparation, what we did was we watched every single episode. It was, we
How
filmed.
How many seasons were there leading up to
it? Leading up to it, we were season 7. So there were 6 seasons prior to
us. Wow, that's a lot of.
We watched
episodes.
Every single episode, wrote down every single question every shark has ever asked in an Excel doc.
Oh, so smart.
Then we, and then on this, and then after we answered every single question on this Excel doc.
Wow.
And then we would, my business partner and I, Steven, who was on the show with me, we quiz each other for about 4 to 5 hours every single day leading up. It's about a month. As well as doing our pitch. I would walk my dog. I'd be in the shower. I would be at dinner. I'd be laying on the couch. I would stand up and do my pitch. Practice.
Yeah. So you were prepared going into it.
We were. Oh, it I don't want to say over. Prepared. I don't want to say overly prepared, yeah. But we were very well prepared.
And then you could be confident going into it. So what was the feedback that you got from the sharks that you did well? Because you got an offer from 2 of them, right?
Yeah, so the day before we filmed, we had to do a pre-pitch in front of all the executive producers.
Uh-huh.
And every other, because they film multiple pitches a day. So we were in the studio with a bunch of other companies, and everyone that went before us, all the executive producers had notes. Do this, do that, don't do this. And when we pitched, the executive producer said, no notes. We were like, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? So we were like, we took it as a good thing, obviously.
Yeah.
So we were prepared. So the day we filmed, we were super nervous, but we knew we were prepared. So we walked in, crushed our pitch. My dog was on the show with us.
Oh.
She did her trick. And then we got to deal with 2 sharks, Robert and Lori.
And why did they ultimately choose you guys? Why did they want to work with you?
We knew our business. We were buttoned up. Robert's a big dog lover. So he
was
initially fascinated by us. And Lori saw the vision and she loved the product and truly believe that our demo, which is kind of the female middle-aged pet parent demo, she was like, I can connect with them. I can sell these products for you.
Oh, so cool. So what's your relationship with them now?
They have been awesome. They are mentors to us. They give advice. Any problem we have, we get them on the phone, get them on email, even text message.
Yeah.
Lori texted us the day that we aired saying, good luck. We love working with you guys. Can't wait to see where this thing goes.
So she's very personal.
Very
That's
personal,
awesome.
Very hands-on, which we love.
What's the best piece of advice that either one of them has given you?
Stay positive and enjoy the process, mm-hmm. because it is a process. It's not everyone who's not an entrepreneur thinks when you succeed, you're an overnight success. Well, one of the best pieces of advice, best comments one of our industry friends said was, I'm an overnight success, but I'm a 30-year or I'm a 10-year overnight success.
Yeah,
that has always resonated with us.
10 years long,
exactly.
Yeah. And you have a really interesting philosophy, speaking of, about the ups and downs, about to not take the ups or the downs too seriously.
Yeah, you know, I'm a very emotional guy. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. So managing the emotional roller coaster is very important for me from a day-to-day, whether it's thinking short-term or long-term. Not getting too high, but not getting too low, trying to stay in this even keeled on that roller coaster as best as possible has really helped stay mentally stable. Not that I'm crazy, but...
Yeah, no, but anyone, the healthiest of people will definitely go on that ride.
Yeah, you have to celebrate the wins, but don't celebrate it to such an extent where you lose focus.
Yeah, and don't be too attached to those wins, because there is going to be a down inevitably.
Right.
You know, hopefully not too big of a down, but that's just entrepreneurship, that roller coaster.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Okay, so you have how many co-founders?
There's 4 total co-founders.
Okay, and the other 3 are in Austin, where your company is based,
correct,
right?
Correct.
So how does that work, being long distance with your co-founders and your employees?
Yeah, so I work from home.
In Los Angeles.
I go to Austin for about a week every 4 to 5 weeks. So I'm there. I'm there in the office as much as I can. And if there's something that I need to be there, I can hop on a plane. It's a short plane ride. But I work from home, and we worked from home ever since we started the business in our apartments. And obviously, we've gotten to a place where we can't afford an awesome office in Austin, which we love. And we get to bring our dogs in the office. But for me, cool. I pretend that my apartment is my office. So I get dressed. I shower in the morning. I get dressed. I walk to my office. I make coffee and I sit
at
my
desk. You have like a separate office in your apartment.
So my wife and I, we have a 2-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, so one of those
is a full office.
Yeah.
It's a desk. I have actually 2 desks. I have dual monitors. So I really have a setup where I am at my office.
Like, I am at work now.
I am at work.
You even get dressed for it. I applaud you, because a lot of people
wear my shoes.
PJs.
I wear my shoes. I put my shoes on.
Wow.
Everything, yeah.
Oh, amazing. So that just helps you like get into the mindset a little bit more. That's
exactly.
A great tip. So what other tips and tricks do you have for working from home? Because that's a tough one. And a lot of entrepreneurs do it in the beginning and sometimes for years.
Yeah, I have 2 big ones. And one of them pertains to if you're working with other people and not in your own city. A lot of my employees and co-founders, we have a no phone call rule, only FaceTime, only video chat.
Mm.
Because when you start to text... And on the phone, it's hard to detect tone.
Yeah.
So if you do it face-to-face on a video, you see the emotion, you see the tone, you see how we're presenting ideas and thoughts. And it's easier to kind of relate to it than kind of saying on text. And when you can't really detect, are you mad at me? Are you not mad at me? So that helps reduce a lot of fights and a lot of arguments.
Yeah.
The other one is I get up every few hours to walk my dog around the block. Mm-hmm. To get away from the screen, because my eyes start to get tired, and it's getting up, getting the blood flowing really helps rejuvenate me every couple hours to get back in focused.
Yeah, so multiple breaks, lots of mini breaks recharge.
Every like 2 to 3 hours, depending on my schedule, I'll get up, walk around my block. It takes like 7 to 9 minutes, so it's not like a crazy break. Then I'm back at work.
Cool. Thank you so much for your time today and all your insights. So interesting. Great stuff. My guest, Sean Connect, co-founder of Pride Bites. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
When farm families have conflict, sometimes good intentions lead to bad outcomes. The Successful Farming Radio Magazine is brought to you by Kubota. Where passion meets performance, Kubota can help you achieve more. Kubota, for earth, for life.
I'm the neighbor with the orange tractor. I plant, grow, harvest, haul, and feed. Caring for the land is a responsibility we all share out here. For our families, for ourselves, for us all. Right now, get a Kubota M7 tractor and take advantage of low-rate, long-term financing. This is why I do it. Kubota.
Now through June 30th, 2017. Call toll-free 1-800-794-4992 for details about cost and terms.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
Stars.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We've got Deanne Bell joining us. She's the founder and CEO of Future Engineers. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So what does your company do?
Future Engineers is an online platform that issues national innovation challenges for kindergarten through 12th grade students.
Okay, give us an example. We were just talking about this off camera, but give me an example. So K through 12, mm-hmm. they compete for what?
Right. So I'll just, you know, walk you through the very first challenge we issued. So the same day that NASA sent the very first 3D printer to the International Space Station, we launched a national challenge inviting students all across the country to design a tool for astronauts to 3D print in space. And we have two age groups. We have students that are under 13 and students that are over 13 enrolled in a K-12 school in the United States. And so students all came up with their ideas, what tool they thought would be beneficial to an astronaut in a microgravity environment. They submit their designs to the site, and we judged. And the winning design of that challenge, for example, the grand prize was to be the first student design 3D print in space. So that student got to go to Payload Operations Mission Control, got to see their design 3D printed on the International Space Station and speak to astronauts about that.
Very cool. Well, I got to know, what was the tool that the kid came up with?
So that was called the MPMT, the multi-precision maintenance tool. So he got bonus points because they made an acronym.
Like Swiss Army knife.
I know, right? So basically it was a multi-tool that was, you know, designed in a very compact way that had all this different functionality. Mm-hmm. The idea being that in microgravity, things float around. So if we can put this all into one compact unit, it would be more usable.
Very cool. Smart.
Yeah.
Swiss Army knife, just repurposing it.
Exactly.
We gotta come up with something like that in the kitchen, right?
I know.
Everything in the kitchen that I need.
Yeah, just a massive one that has like all the spoons that come out.
That's right. Like, spatula, spoon, knife.
Yeah, I need my whisk.
That's right. How did you get into this space? I feel like this is something that's a little unconventional, which I love. I love when we have something different on here. Mm-hmm. How did you choose to get into this space?
Into engineering in general?
Like into creating this framework that helps kids create amazing opportunities and, you know, get put in a environment where they get to compete against other kids to come up with potentially, you know, life-changing things.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like most entrepreneurs, we all have these sources of inspiration. Yeah. And
what
I think,
were yours?
Yeah, I mean, as you're going through life, you don't realize that they're all going to kind of culminate in something. But for me, my background is as a mechanical engineer. I worked professionally in corporate America as an engineer. And then I parlayed that into a television career. I also host television shows about science and engineering. And I've been doing that for about the last 10 years. And so I had, you know, experience in industry. I had experience communicating science and through that just learning that there's a real need to better communicate science, technology, engineering, and math and engage students even at a younger level. So with those two sources of inspiration, I sort of identified this niche where I really think that we could be issuing national engineering challenges for kids, even the littlest ones. You know, sometimes engineering is reserved for college or later years in high school. Yeah. And you can be a kindergartner and be engineering something, right? So I'm trying to really make engineering more approachable.
That's awesome. And my question is, did you A, always know you wanted to get into engineering? And then B, was entrepreneurship something that was always on the radar, or did you just kind of stumble into that?
Right. So my background of getting into engineering, when I was a little girl,
I always wanted to get into engineering.
You know, it's funny.
Most kids don't grow up and they're like, I want to be an engineer. Maybe that's not what they call it. Maybe they're doing things, though, that lead them to that.
But that's changing. Yeah. But you're right.
You're spearheading that.
Exactly. But so when I was little, I really wanted to be one of two things, a veterinarian or an inventor. And I really loved the idea.
So where did engineering come from? That's from the inventing
side. The inventing side of it. But that's what's funny is when I was little, I didn't associate engineering with inventing. It was just this kind of word. I didn't know what it was. But at the same time, one of my favorite things to do is I had, you know, this group of girls and they would come over to my house and we would just love to build things. And, you know, we didn't have much money because we were, you know, we did chores and we had that, right? So we would go to thrift stores and we'd buy junk basically and we'd take it apart and we'd salvage motors and we just build these whimsical machines, right? So we, you know, I don't know, we just made up things and we would turn it into a reality. And that whole design process is what inspired me to become an engineer. You know, I thought it was inventing, and then I realized that you can't really go to school to be an inventor. But then someone said, hey, engineering is inventing. You're just inventing on teams, right? So I was like, hey, yeah. So that's really, I guess, the impetus of me, you know, wanting to become an engineer and also me, I guess, being passionate about connecting my engineering education and my experience back with the younger generation.
What do you feel like were some of the lessons that you've picked up from engineering that have correlated and translated into your ability to become successful in entrepreneurship? Like, what lessons as an engineer correlate to being an entrepreneur?
Right. So you mentioned earlier, did I know I wanted to be an entrepreneur or did I stumble into it? I stumbled into it. But it ends up that the skill set core to being an engineer, I think, is just a natural fit for being an entrepreneur. I'm sure a lot of people say that about their skill sets. Yeah. But you know, what I really, I kind of operate on two philosophies. And one is imagine the impossible, and the other is dive in. So this idea with imagine the impossible, when you think about technology, it's like, I need to make a new technology that hasn't existed before. And I've always been trained, if you can think it, if you can imagine it, then you just have to go through a series of asking the right questions and finding the right answers, and you can make it happen, right? But oftentimes people have these grand ideas, and they don't really know how to take that next step, right? Well, what do I do to make that idea
a reality? 99% of the population.
Right? And so I mean, the other half of the equation is you have to be able to just dive in. You're never going to know everything, but you need to be able to dive in and just figure it out. And so it ends up that what I've been doing with that skill set was just a natural fit for entrepreneurship. And I just had this idea for a cool challenge. And then all of a sudden I realized, no, I mean, this can be scaled. This can be a business. And, you know, what I was doing in engineering, all of a sudden I was doing with a business, right?
Yeah. Well, what do you think are, what I love is that you're working with young kids. Mm-hmm. And I mean, inevitably, that's our future. And it's our responsibility as other older kids, right, to teach the younger kids, you know, the things that they don't know that are coming. Mm-hmm. And I think the education system, in a lot of ways, the formal education system is flawed and broken in a lot of places around the country. And so creating things like you're doing, I think, is phenomenal. But my question is, what do you feel like are things that the young kids these days bring to the table? I mean, never before in history have kindergartners, babies, right, been given more technology in their hands, mm-hmm, the iPhone or any smartphone, than there was in the ship that went to the moon. So nowadays, newborn babies are given an iPhone and a tablet right when they're born. They're growing up a lot differently than ever before. You're working with these types of kids and seeing that different mindset that they have. Mm-hmm. What are some of those things? What are some of the new generation of kids bringing to the table?
I think what you said hit the nail on the head. There's a level of technology fluency that's just, it's everywhere, right? Yeah. And so, yes, I think every kid knows how to operate an iPad. But the truth is, as we get older, they need to know more than just how to operate an iPad. They, you know, I feel like students need a basic understanding of certain digital tech skills, coding, just
an
approach of design thinking, right?
Yeah.
The idea of how to approach a problem and how to solve it. I mean, I think that serves everyone well, right? Mm-hmm. And then what was your follow-on question?
It's not just a matter of, because a lot of people maybe listening right now, especially baby boomers, might be like, yeah, but those kids are just growing up playing video games and using social media and wasting their time on there.
Right.
That's the case for a lot. But that's not always the case when it comes to teaching these kids like what you're doing, which is how to use technology to make a difference in the world and then actually impact people and make money from that as well. And that's what you're helping these kids do.
Right. And what I tell everyone is, you know, participating in one of our challenges, right? On the surface, it's a 3D printing challenge. And, you know, you're like, okay, so I'm making this blob. This kid makes their first digital design on a computer and they make a blob and they 3D print it. But there's a sense of pride in that blob, right? And there's an employable skill that they learned in that process, right? And for me, it's almost this philosophy of understanding how that can then parlay when you get older.
Yeah.
You know, I work with these students, but then I also, you know, mentor inventors on television as well. And whether you're 6 years old or you're 60 years old, you have to go through a similar mindset, mm-hmm, right? And you have to have that confidence in those skills. And so I think you're right that, you know, sometimes we're at odds with technology and
wow.
Right, exactly. But the truth is it's here to stay. And I think that it's important for us not to just be blind to it, but to have a level of understanding and fluency of all the technology that's around us.
Something else that I think you probably align with a lot is a lot of people don't realize that nowadays, not all, but a lot of innovation is coming from the younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kids that are maybe under 30 years old. A lot of people, those are kids, right? So, and teenagers, like a lot of innovation nowadays is coming from young people. And the reason being, they don't have a paradigm that baby boomers and Gen X people have been raised with, which is, this is not possible. This is not possible. Science has proven this. But how many times has science been wrong? How many times have theories and ways of doing things been wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of baby boomers and Gen X have grown up for decades being like, you can't do this. You can't do that. Don't even try to do that because science has already proven that's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then a teenager from somewhere in another world is being like, I'm going to take technology and education that I have access to via the internet. And they solve something that other people are like, how did we miss this? We've been doing this for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids figured it out. because these kids grow, they don't grow up with the paradigm of what's possible and what's not. Mm-hmm. They see that anything is possible.
Right.
Do you agree with that?
I agree 100% that there's unbridled creativity in the younger ages. The submissions for our challenges, I think, have blown our minds in the level of creativity that students present. And what's fascinating, I mean, seriously, like, you'll get a submission of what seemingly is a box, but then they describe it and it's, you know, like a 7-year-old that's like, oh, but you throw the box up and it aligns itself to Mars and it points out this and this. And, you know, there's so much thought that goes into these things. And I think you're right that, you know, as I've gotten older, I try very hard not to become risk averse. Yeah. But I think when you're young, you're just willing to take these risks.
If somebody says maybe they've got some kids and they want to be part of Future Engineers, or maybe they just want to follow you and learn more about what you're doing, where can they do that?
Yeah, go to futureengineers.org. Okay. Everything you need to know about our challenges are there, curriculum, content, everything to get started. Even if you've never done this before, everything you need is right there.
Awesome.
And then on Twitter, at K12Futury.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate
Thanks so much, Mark.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we connect the community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, or online at businessrockstars.com.
Public speaking shouldn't be the most scary thing you've done. Here's a few tips for giving a better presentation, regardless of the reason. I'm Alex Worley with a Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, keep it simple. Try to keep your presentation straightforward and to the point. Using big words and complicated sentences can overwhelm both you and your audience. If you keep it simple, your audience is more likely to grasp the message you're trying to send. Number two, engage your audience. The best presentations engage the audience, so come up with ways to make them feel involved. Ask for their points of view or use them to help with your demonstration. Number three, practice makes perfect. Whether you are an expert or an amateur, you can never practice too much. Even the most seasoned speakers rehearse before every presentation. Get feedback and adjust your material and technique accordingly. For the Business Rockstars podcast, go to play.it. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Loans are made by WebBank. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
I was making great progress on building my savings, but then I get hit with an unexpected car repair bill.
Keeping a close eye on my credit score allowed me to buy my first house, but an unexpected medical emergency set me back.
When the unexpected happened, Avant was there to help. If you need to borrow $1,000 to $35,000, try Avant. It's fast, simple, and transparent.
Everything is done online. There are no prepayment fees, and no collateral is required, and you can instantly check your rate with no impact to your credit score.
Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. And now, Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your rates and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 5656 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 5656. Go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 5656.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated. What other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Outside of the box to grow your business. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley. This is Business Rockstars, here to help us answer that question. Hayden Slater, he's the CEO and co-founder of Pressed Juicery. So you know firsthand that when you're starting a business, you have very little resources. Yes. So where do you begin?
You get creative, you know. Mm-hmm. You really spend your time thinking outside the box, just like you said.
Yeah.
How do I do it differently? You know, I think we live in an age where you can take risk and you can try things. You know, I started this company out of a 22 square foot broom closet that I took the door off of. I put a Dutch door, one refrigerator, and that's how the company was born. You'd never seen retail been operated like that. And I think it's this idea of, as a young entrepreneur, you're constantly wanting and yearning to do things that big companies do.
Yeah.
But you can't, you know?
And you can't be a perfectionist.
You can't.
You really have to let go of the details that don't matter in the beginning.
For sure. And you have to, you know, it's kind of like the advice I said. You have to try things because you never know. I mean, to me, a business is like a living thing that evolves and it changes and it grows. Mm-hmm. And you can't set out to just, this is who we are. You have to be open-minded to being influenced as the times change, as people change, like how you incorporate that change into your thought process, into letting the company evolve over time.
Right. So, and you really thought outside of the box when it came to the funding, too.
Oh, for sure. I mean, like with $90,000, once you buy equipment, there's not much room to do other things.
Yeah. It was you and your two co-founders. You said $30,000 each,
correct,
of your own money.
Yep.
And then you were forced to make that money stretch.
Yeah. So what we did was we've really focused on the product first and foremost. And then from there, how do we make noise? You know, how do we garner attention without these huge advertisements or, you know, with what other companies would do.
So how did you make noise?
You know, trying different things. Every time we would open a store, we would literally put a balloon arch on and we would pass out flyers and we would create a line that engaged the community. And it sparked this interest almost day one. When there's like a congregation of people, all of a sudden everyone around you is like, what's going on over there? Mm-hmm. And you start, you know, and little things. Don't give out free product. Give out a free flyer. So then people have to come to your store so they know where you are. You know, it's like these little isms that we don't really think through, but they make such a big difference.
Yeah. So very grassroots marketing.
Yeah. I mean, look at social media. You know, here's something that everyone can access now. You know, you think you have to target these people who have followers of 500,000 or more. It's not true at all. Target people who have 50 to 100 followers because they are, when a friend of mine posts who has a small following, I know it's an authentic post. I know they're posting something that they believe in, and I'm way more, the chances of me you know, trying whatever it is they're talking about is so much greater because I believe it.
Yeah, they're speaking to their inner circle.
Exactly.
And if you're their best friend or exactly. their parent or whatever, you're going to take their suggestions seriously. 100%.
And I think if you just, you know, just simplify, how do I get to my inner group? And then how do I get to the group outside of them? And you see this ripple effect beginning to happen. And I think that's the whole thing with growing business. You don't need crazy capital. You just have to be able to, like, just have fun and try things that others aren't doing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have some hacks for saving money in interesting places and making your money stretch more?
I just think you have to be smart about it. You know, I think in the early days when you start a business, every penny you spend should focus on, should really result in growth. You know, before we get carried away too much with the creative, simplify things, you know, focus on the core and what's going to really help me grow the business.
So become profitable so you just have more money to work with.
Exactly. Because sometimes we think, you know, if I do this huge campaign or if I put all this money here, it'll be my golden ticket.
Yeah.
We don't have to take that approach anymore. Move small. You know, someone said to me a long time ago, and it was great advice. Crawl, walk, run. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, I crawled, and I learned in that crawling phase. Yeah. And then when I took all those findings, that's when I really started to walk.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Always.
Love it.
It does.
This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Hayden Slater, CEO and co-founder of Press Juicery, here to answer the question of how do we think outside of the box to really grow our business? A key thing for you has been relationship building. You're a connector. You're a people person. Who are some of the people that you've connected with the most that have been so helpful to your business?
For sure. You know, I think that's another great question because we think that I need to talk to a successful business person in order to learn something. That's not true at all. You can learn something from every single person if you just open your ears a little bit. You know, stop going into the mindset of only a business person or a successful business person knows, because all of us around us know or can add to the conversation. What does your family and friends want when they're buying a product? What are they looking for? Understand, like, what really kind of makes people act the way they do. Why do they go? You know, growing up in LA, I used to obsess over why do my friends go to the places they go to? And why do we? And I would take all of these little tidbits and kind of incorporate it into my business to the best of my ability.
So be a student, an observer,
just
learn about people.
Everyone has something to teach and learn. And I think that you're going to learn the most if you really just ask the right questions and kind of listen to the answers.
Yeah. But you did take advantage of some people that you had access to, like
For sure.
your parents, friends,
For sure.
you maybe
I
were
mean,
big
I,
business people.
I would go, you know, and this is what was really interesting. I would go to a lot of my friends' parents to me who were really successful business people. And I remember I would meet with them and, you know, they'd be like, how much money do you need? And I'd be like, I really don't need money. I just want to pick.
Wow. I'd be like, well, let me think about that.
But I didn't. I really wanted to learn from them. What were your, tell me your story. What were your experiences?
Love it. Such good stuff. Thank you so much to my guest, Hayden Slater. He is the CEO and co-founder of Press Juicery. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley. This is Business Rockstars.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.
Attention, Xarelto and Pradaxa users. If you or a loved one has taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and suffered an injury or even died, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Xarelto and Pradaxa are prescribed blood thinners used to prevent blood clots and protect people from strokes. If you have taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and been hospitalized for internal bleeding, call now, 800-305-2036. Serious bleeding has led to numerous cases of hospitalization and death. If you
or a loved one was hospitalized for serious internal bleeding or a stroke after taking Xarelto or Pradaxa, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. Time is limited to file your claim. Call now for free information and a free consultation. Call 800-305-2036. That's 800-305-2036. Again, 800-305-2036.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Williams Paisley. When my mother was diagnosed with dementia, we didn't know where to turn. For my family, the decision to move her into long-term care was heart-wrenching. From the start, I wish we'd known about the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. They're free, unbiased.
Biz Talk Radio,